My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up a little bit later on today, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Pecola, will join us at least for this year, for the final time. I'm sure we'll catch up in the offseason at some point with JJ.
Yeah, maybe winners meetings. Not calendar year. Yeah. Maybe
that's
this season.
As I said, maybe sometime in the offseason. I'm sure there'll be something. Hopefully a big signing or trade or something that comes up.
Probably going to sign Juan Soto. We'll ask him about that later. You know?
Yeah. Will you agree?
How interested are you in signing Juan Soto?
Will you agree if you guys sign Soto, you'll come on the show that day? Yeah, we'll start the conversation with that. Now, he's going to join us at noon. We appreciate him having the time or coming on the show, giving us time throughout the season. So that's coming up a little bit later on today. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We are also streaming on video, as always. Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, X, YouTube, all the socials.
All the channels, you know, any of the channels. Please like and subscribe us over there. You know why? Because the more people that like and subscribe us, the more things we get to do. I still think we should do another giveaway for anybody who follows us on YouTube. But the last time I tried to DM people on YouTube, they made me look like I was crazy.
Well, they don't like you sliding in their DMs.
So. I think I'm going to need people to just screenshot. If you I'll make you a deal. If you follow us on YouTube at TheFan965, you subscribe to us over there. If you do that and send me a screenshot that you're a new, I don't care. If you DM me or just at me on social media, at CodyBTap, we will choose somebody who adds me and proves that they're following us on YouTube or a new follower on there, and we'll have another listener come in for the fan club. Normally, you have to pay for that privilege, you know? Normally, you have to buy it at the garage sale. Also a great deal. That'll be available in the garage sale next year. We should figure out when we're doing that, I guess.
We got some time on that. I think we got some time. It'll be in June, probably, something like that. You're right before Father's Day. I think we've determined is a pretty good week for the garage sale for a variety of reasons to raise money for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. But as someone already pointed out in the text line, part of that agreement should be, again, you have to pay off the bet for you to be allowed to also even do that.
To even just to offer things?
Mm-hmm.
I like that everything is now contingent on me paying off his bet.
Yeah, because it's been two years, man. It's been 2 years. But we'll figure that out at some point. We'll be in Vegas next week. So just saying, that could be a good opportunity.
That does feel like a good opportunity.
To get this taken care of. But let's talk a little Chiefs football briefly before we do get into the Royals and some of their decisions based on comments from J.J. Pecola and Matt Quatrero yesterday that they had their wrap-up press conference. But Andy Reid did speak. You heard that exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan in the noon hour. And he was asked about a lot of the familiar faces that are back with the team. We know Kareem Hunt. We know Juju Smith-Schuster. And basically how well that has already worked and having familiarity. Hell, look what the Jets just did today. That's a whole other story. But Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, familiarity. Aaron Rodgers wants someone that he believes can actually execute, even though it's never his fault. That kind of stuff. But when it comes to the Chiefs situation, how it could impact the trade that they make, listen to what Andy had to say about considering trades, and does that familiarity matter if they go out and get a wide receiver?
Yeah, Matt, I think it's probably what Adam was saying, too. Just I think that helped Juju and his situation coming back in and jumping in. It helped McColl coming back. But I'm not telling you other guys can't come in and help out. So I don't think that's an issue. It's just going to take them a little bit longer to figure it out and get on the same page with Pat and all those things. Won't be quite as what you've seen with these other guys that have been in it. But I'm not saying that we need to bring anybody else in. You asked a question. I'm just saying that I'm answering your question on that, man. So.
I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that no, I'm not you asked me, that's why I'm talking about this. I didn't say we need to trade. You said we needed maybe trade for somebody.
That's not what he said though. He just asked about familiarity inside the offense and whether or not it is. This would be, I'm telling you right now, this was the most tip their hand situation the Chiefs ever do, and then Andy caught himself. They are 100% trading for a wide receiver, and I think it's a 50-50 shot it's DeMarcus Robinson. I think it's 100% chance they trade for a wide receiver. I think there's a 50% chance that wide receiver is just DeMarcus Robinson, because it seems a little too obvious. But the way he said that is, if I asked you, Gold, hey man, how was your weekend? And you were like, oh, it was good, and just said, I didn't say I went on a date. I'd be like, I didn't bring up a date. Why are you bringing up a date? Who did you go on a date with, Alex? Because the guilt just overrode you somehow, and you just started to admitting to things. We've all had a friend who just started admitting to things you didn't even ask about. And he's like, I didn't say we were trading for anybody. I get it. He didn't want to tip his hand in the trade market. I've never been more convinced that they're trading for a wide receiver.
I mean, they should. I mean, that's what we've been discussing even during the bye week last week. It was great to see Juju Smith-Schuster go out there and have a strong performance. I hope he does it again on Sunday out in Santa Clara against the 49ers. But based off of his prior injury history and things like that, I don't think you can bank on that production all year, but also can he handle that workload? We've talked about that with Travis Kelce. All that applies to where I don't believe that they should let that performance or even this week's performance shift their thinking on, do they need a wide receiver? Now, as far as familiarity, there's very few names out there at the wide receiver position that they are familiar with or would be familiar with the receiving room. Sure. And the quarterback room. And of course, this offense, DeMarcus Robinson is the most notable name that is on another team that is currently playing wide receiver for an active roster. That I get why you bring up DeMarcus Robinson. My question with that would just be the Rams, because of the NFL right now, like they're not 100% out of it yet. And I don't know if they will be by the time it gets to November 5th, the trade deadline. And some of that for them will probably also be determined, is Puka back yet? Remember, he's hurt. Cooper Kupp could be back soon. Do they think both those guys are back? Because if they think they're both back, well, then they just added two great receivers. And suddenly DeMarcus Robinson is, you know, down to their fifth receiver. I don't think the name DeMarcus Robinson is going to excite anybody. So many fans, I think, now have basically like circle the names DeAndre Hopkins and Amari Cooper, and anything less than that is going to be disappointing. And I get it. I think Amari Cooper would be terrific, and the Browns yet again lost and probably going to lose on Sunday to Cincinnati. So the Cooper should be available. But DeMarcus Robinson, man, I don't know. I mean, he's gotten better. I'll give him credit in LA with Sean McVay. Maybe you say it's Sean McVay. I don't know. He's gotten better. We all know how many times were we saying, run forward, dude, stop running backwards. So I'm just want to remind, like, that was the lasting thought we had about him.
Oh, I remember. I very much shared in those thoughts, and I haven't watched a ton of his game tape. I don't know if that's something that had still frustrated him, but if you look back at what he is, it's so funny because what this team could use is kind of what he is. Yeah, would I love Amari Cooper or, you know, like what the Jets just did? We can talk about that trade in just a second. Davante Adams, some big name number one wide receiver to come in. But realistically, what they need or what they can afford, and those things are a little bit different. Realistically, what they can afford is probably like a 500 or 600 yard guy. And that's what he is. And the truth is, that's what McColl isn't anymore. And that's what Sky Moore never was. And that's what Tony wasn't. And over the last couple of years, had they had a wide receiver who could just get them 600 yards over the course of a 16-game season, that would have helped their offense, because I do still think they'll let Juju, they'll let Xavier Worthy, and I think they'll have to do by committee. They need, at this point, sadly, 300, 500-yard, 600-yard receivers the rest of the way. DeMarcus, Juju, Xavier Worthy, and then let Travis Kelce eat, and then just do it in a balance of attack. That's how they eventually got the Super Bowl last year. Obviously, at some point, Rashee Rice took over from the other two and started to take over that job, and that's fine. Sure. Maybe Xavier Worthy could still do that, but if not, it's not like they weren't winning games before. I just thought they tipped their hand. I think Andy got a little bit nervous, like he had said too much. In a press conference, and 99% of it was nothing. No, let's be honest, yeah. It was nothing. He was saying nothing yesterday. He let one slip for a half a second, and he was like, well, you asked about wide receivers. I'm just talking about them. You're like, okay, relax a little bit, Andy. All we said was, does having familiarity with the offense help wide receivers come into town? There aren't even that many wide receivers to be defensive about.
It's DeMarcus Robinson and Kadarius Toney, and like there's and he's on a practice squad. Like there's.
It's not gonna be Toney.
Am I missing another former Chiefs wide receiver?
Chris Conley still in the league?
Is he?
I don't know. I was asking.
Like, is he? I'm not sure. Other than that, I mean, honestly, is there another
in the league? He has one catch for 4 yards.
Who's he with? Jacksonville? Where's he at?
The 49ers.
That's right. San Fran.
One catch for 4 yards.
They're going to see him this weekend.
The last time he had 300 yards was 2021, so I don't think it's going to be Chris Conley.
No. There's nobody else.
No, it's DeMarcus. The only guy he would be hiding this from is DeMarcus Robinson. I don't think that it
that
would
to me should
him.
Be like your last choice. You fail on getting Cooper.
Yeah,
you fail on Hopkins.
Right.
You fail on Slayton. And because Darius Slayton, I'll say that he's actually since Malik Nabers been out for 2 weeks, Darius Slayton's actually looked good the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
For the Giants.
And they're still only like a game and a half out of first.
Deontay Johnson had a good game for the Panthers over the weekend too. I don't know if I know that the Panthers, how much are they in tank mode? How much are they just bad? You know, what do they want to do?
Someone brought up
him?
Tyreek Hill. I just don't consider that a realistic option.
But. Sure. I don't consider it a realistic option either, but he is a former Chief and he's pretty good at football.
Yeah.
It so turns out. The one part I would say about this is signing D-Rob, the one thing it would give me confidence is their lack of panic. Like when I watch the Davante Adams trade and I see that the Jets gave they're going to pay every single dollar of the contract. As a reminder, he's owed $44 million next year or a $15 million dead cap hit buyout. Those are the only two options for the Jets. And they have to give up more compensation if they trade Hassan Reddick, who they're also interested in trading. Like, they're so desperate, and they reek of it. The same dating thing applies. We've all seen someone at the bar at 2 a.m. looking real desperate. If the Chiefs trade for DeMarcus Robinson, they are comfortable with what they are, and they understand that they'll try to find a way to win, given less talent at wide receiver, even though they once had more. The Jets reek of it. They're 2-4. They'd have to go, 8-3 just to secure 100% likelihood of getting a playoff spot? This doesn't even guarantee him that. What are they doing?
Well, this is the most
third round pick for Davante Adams for.
There's never been a more predictable trade in NFL history. I'm serious.
I know.
Truly, we've all thought someone might get traded, but there's never been anything more predictable. We either did have the conversation, and we definitely should have if we didn't. Back in June, we were predicting who could. I think we actually did have somewhat of a conversation like, hey, who midseason could end up being a trade candidate? And Davante Adams was at the top of the list. And then, of course, the relationship between Adams and Rodgers with the Jets. This was so predictable, especially after losing 3 games in a row. And then last night when Mike Williams tripped on the terrific MetLife Field turf, that exists there, and Aaron Rodgers, he just looks like he is absolutely miserable and hates everybody that he plays football with. That's what he looks like, and Davante Adams is, in his mind, going to save the day for him. If you're the Jets organization, he is your coach, he's your GM, he's your quarterback, you let him make any decision, which is why last week's comments from Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show look even more ridiculous when he tried to say, oh, I don't have any say in anything.
The owner, the night before
they fired my head coach, just wanted to see how I was doing. He didn't mention possibly firing Robert Saleh. No. I don't have that kind of pull yet. A day after Mike Williams screws it up again, you trade for Davante Adams. All of this, we're supposed to believe that he has no power, no control.
That they it's just want to keep him happy?
It's a bunch of crap. He obviously is in charge, and it is falling apart there in New York.
He was in charge from the get-go, because if you remember, Randall Cobb was one of the first signings that they made, bringing his old guy Randall Cobb from the Packers.
Randall Cobb, Lazard, Hackett. Like, what do we think? It's just an accident that they've just recreated 3 years ago Jets and put it on one roster together
in
New York?
I just don't know why honestly, I don't know why Davante Adams wants to go to the Jets. There are a team that's lost three in a row. You would have had a market elsewhere as well. And I know you like Aaron Rodgers from your time in Green Bay, but like other than that, like the Jets team maybe is a wild card team. Maybe he's a wild card.
Anybody
team.
Think they're making the wild card right now? I wouldn't bet it. If you gave me $10,000 and it was even money, they make it or they don't. I bet they don't.
Probably.
You'd think about it harder than
go back to our conversation yesterday with Drew. We were talking about like, hey, somebody's got to be the seventh seed. And there's a lot of bad teams. There's a lot of bad teams. There's a lot of bad teams in the AFC. So I think they actually still could find a way based off their schedule. We were talking before the show off air, going through their schedule, and it's a very similar conversation we did have about Cincy yesterday, where it's like, yeah, the schedule seems soft, but they're not a good enough team to say these are wins for sure. You know what I mean? The same thing applies to the Jets. Like we were like that's a nice matchup for them. Yeah, but it's a coin flip game because they're not a good football team.
I think it'll be interesting to see what they do after this, because going in we thought, okay, they make the head coaching change, you're always good for one good game afterwards where everybody rallies, the troops rally together and all that stuff. Where does it go from here? Because they've got a better roster than a number of the teams around them. When you look at Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard played really well yesterday. They've got a solid group of players. And then on the defensive side, they're obviously very good too. What do they do from here on out to try to stay afloat in that 6-7 spot?
A lot of talent on a roster for the Jets, apparently, that is 2-4. Maybe because the quarterback's old. I don't know. Like, this was my whole take on Rodgers starting last year, obviously. And again, last year we'll never be able to prove whether I was going to be right or wrong because he got hurt.
Four steps.
It didn't really matter. But this was the whole, I can't believe how many times, at least on the Kelce front or other, how many times we've had to have the father time argument and we were just ignoring it with Aaron Rodgers. Like, the Nationals just ignoring it. And I get it, because he was only a year and a half removed from an MVP. And so they're like, well, I mean, how washed can he be? Look, Peyton Manning looked like one of the three best quarterbacks in the league one year, and then looked like he couldn't throw a football the next. Like, we just pretend like Father Time isn't this, like, it doesn't always, like, it's not like a slow wilting flower every time. Sometimes it just hits you like a ton of bricks, and all of a sudden, one day, you can't play anymore. And I know it happens more with running backs or cornerbacks or the positions we're used to where all of a sudden you just have no juice anymore. But certainly coming off of a season-long injury for a team that's never had success, it's just so desperate for the Jets. By the way, if they offer the Chiefs the same thing, eat all of his money and pay a third-round pick, no chance. If they just offered up the same deal and said, you can have it instead, pass. I think it's a bad deal. Like, I do not think this is a good deal for the Jets, but you're right.
They have nothing to lose at this point.
They're going to have to tear it all down in a year anyway.
They are so far towards the middle in terms of being an all-in that they already know they've mortgaged the future a long time ago. It is about this season. But when they traded for Rodgers, it was about not just making the playoffs. It was about going to a Super Bowl. And even if this team gets in as a 7-seed wild card team and plays a little bit better football, this team is not going to a Super Bowl. The New York Jets are not. No. Not when we've all watched the Ravens play. We've watched Buffalo, who they played last night. Not that Buffalo looked great, but just we've seen Buffalo look a lot better in other games. The Chiefs, we know what their peak can look like and the track record there. I just don't believe you can watch the Jets, and even with Davante Adams, tell me that they're a threat at all.
How disgusting was that game last night?
Well,
hideous.
25 flags, 27 flags in that game.
Was it a record? Felt like a record.
I think it was like 22.
It tied the most for this season.
So there were a stat that came out. At least five flags that you're like, okay, a couple roughing the passers, DPI, where you're like, these are just bad calls. Then there were some in the broadcast point out, we're like, no, they were right calls. It's just, it was a sloppy game. I think there's such a gap between, we think a turnover filled game that has 13 or 14 flags is a lot. But once you cross past that, even if
you hit a certain number and it's like it's unmistakable.
Yeah, every two plays, the final 5 minutes, there was a flag. It was ridiculous. Some of them were warranted, some were not. And it sucks because I actually was going to come on the show today and applaud the replay assist portion of the NFL. I think replay assist, for those that aren't familiar with that, that's when you've seen a couple games, especially in primetime, where if it's a runner is down or it should have been a catch, instead of having a coach challenge, they're able to have replay assist and fix the call very, very quickly. I think it's great. I wish they did this a long time ago.
Why do they do it more in primetime games?
I don't know if it's more noticeable or if it actually happens more in primetime. It might just be one of those things where it feels like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that part is a great thing about replay. For as much as we rail on replay being a problem, that's the one part that is really good. And no, they can't replay assists, pass interference. I don't want them doing that. We went through that seven years ago or whatever with the Saints deal, where they were never overturning it anyway. But hey, a runner's knee was not actually down. Why are we wasting our time? That kind of stuff is great. On a legal formation, they were able to do that. That kind of stuff is terrific, but it gets overshadowed by a flag fest that ensued last night.
I guess part of it is just like, now the more that we get like the replay thing, the rest of it is so performative. We wait to the last second. I throw the red flag down. You come over to me. I give you the whole spiel. He goes and puts the headset on. He's got to talk. And like, we're doing a lot of time wasting here. For you could just be like, yeah, his knee was down. Ball's back to the 32. Move it along. Because the NFL's a great sport. Obviously, we all love it for a million reasons. But let's not pretend like, like in every sport, you couldn't trim a little fat here, okay?
And that's what replay assist has done.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Some aspects.
Like the NFL is maybe the least action sport out of all the sports we watch. There's less going on from a minute-to-minute standpoint. It's like 13 minutes of actual action in football. I don't need half of that time to be wasted watching a coach pull a flag out of his sock.
No, but I'll say this. I do think if there's a replay assist and a coach is dumb enough to still try to challenge the replay assist, let him burn his challenge. Sean McDermott, so there was the Aaron Rodgers play. His arm goes forward, and because his arm was like pointed down, it looked like maybe it was a fumble, but it was clearly incomplete. They ruled it fumble initially, and then, I don't know, 10 seconds later, replay assist said, hey, by the way, yeah, that's an incomplete pass. They ruled incomplete. Sean McDermott then wants to challenge it. They're like, dude, you can't challenge it.
We already looked at it.
The replay guys already looked at it. To me, if the coach wants to be dumb enough to let him waste the challenge. Like, you want to challenge the people that already overturned it? Good luck. Good luck hitting that. You're wasting your time.
We don't stop stupid people from doing stupid things.
I will say,
things.
It did look like he was tucking. It looked like when the ball fell out, his hand didn't look like it was like throwing. It would look like he lost grip on the football.
But they'd already made the decision is the problem.
Right.
What's the point in challenging it if the person who is going to, like, you...
It's the same thing.
I'm like, hey, Cody, will you take a look at this and tell me whether that guy's out? I'm like, yeah, he's out. And you're like, nah, but look again. You're like, I just told you he's out. I'm not looking at it again. That's a waste of... Oh, that's when you do the performative thing. It's like when... if you've ever worked retail and they're like, hey, will you see if they have any in the back? And Alex, you know, they don't have any in the back. Geez. You're like, hey, I was back there. They don't have any. Could you check again? You're like, listen, lady.
Oh, that was the worst.
I already looked. There's nothing back there. That doesn't exist.
A long time ago in high school, I worked at Best Buy. And oh my God, you're right. That stuff was so annoying.
That's what,
like,
it is, dude.
Like, we're out of the, at that time, I don't know what would that have been, like iPhone 9s. I don't even know what the hell we're at. Or what are we at now? I don't even know.
16 now.
So yeah, sure. iPhone 7s at the time. They're like, what do you mean? You don't have the black 32 gig? No, we're out right now. Like, can you check in the back? I'm like, This is where. This is the only place they store.
Everyone thinks the back is a magical place full of things you've never seen before. But it's like, that's not, there's no. And then you go back there and you do the, that's what the replay guy would do. You do the performative thing because it's easier to go back there, stare at a wall for 15 seconds and be like, nope. Turns out there's none in the back. And the lady's like, man, that guy tried. He went back there and he looked for me and you didn't do anything. You checked your phone for 5 minutes. Then you went back out there and you told the lady, tough news. Still not in the back. That's all. It's so silly. It's so silly. Speaking of potential, like the Devontae Adams trade, and then it always comes to the extension talks and all the things with it. 5 days after the World Series, we know that Michael Walker will have to inform the team whether or not he is picking up inside of 5 days. He obviously can do it anytime. Whether or not he's picking up or declining his player option of $16 million to remain with the Royals. Really, I think this boils down to two things. Do we think there's any chance he's going to pick up that option? And if we don't, which I don't think he's going to do it, should they try to extend him to keep Michael Walker here? Or do you just dip your toe back into the free agency pool? Because the advantage you have in trying to extend him now is you're not competing in an open market. So you're not having other people bid against you. And you're really only possibly taking on 1 to 2 more years of additional risk because you were already taking on this year worth of risk anyway. Because if he stunk, he was going to pick up the $16 million anyway. On the open market, I think his value is around $16 to $20 million per year. The problem is he's just worth more years now, not worth way more money.
He had a great year in Kansas City. He exceeded expectations, and people at the time of the signing were worried about that option year. Like, oh man, you know, if he's not that good, he's a year older, and then you're gonna be paying him $16 million, you may not like that. Well, it's been the opposite. He pitched great for this team. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball for the final 2-3 months of the season. And so you ask the question, is he gonna opt out? Yes, I think there's like 100% certainty that he's opting out. The only question within that is, do they get a long-term deal, as in 2 or 3 year deal, done before he actually hits the market? But what I think is going to possibly happen is that he's going to test the market, and then it comes down to, are they able to do a qualifying offer or not? We're going to ask JJ about this. There seems to be some uncertainty whether or not, if a player opts out, can you still do a qualifying offer? And if he doesn't take the 1 year, $20-something million qualifying offer, well, then they would at least get a comp pick or whatever, a supplemental
depending
pick
on
or
what
whatever.
He signed, yeah.
So that part could be at least an option where you don't get nothing if he walks. But I'd be very interested in Michael Wacha coming back to Kansas City, but I don't know, not on a 3 year deal.
It's hard for me because they're already signed up. I think they signed up for 2 years no matter what. So I view this year as nothing. It's not a 3 year deal, it's 2 additional years. I think the maximum level I'd be willing to risk if I were the Royals versus just testing the open market and seeing if I can spot the talent better than other people, like you did last year, is 2 with another option. But this time it's mutual. As in, you get the choice and he gets the choice to find out if that year makes sense. That way, and then a little bump. Instead of $16 million a year, it's 20 for the next 2. So 2 for $40 with an additional third year at $20 million that is mutual between 2 parties. The problem with not bringing back Wacha, and the reason why I do want Wacha back, this team made the postseason because they had one of the best rotations in baseball. Plain and simple. Reagans is back. Lugo's back. If Wacha's back, then there's no mystery remaining. They are a good major league rotation automatically by bringing back Wacha. If you don't bring back Wacha, then the question remains of, is Singer also going to be on there? And we can ask JJ whether or not they're kicking those things around yet. Are they going to go back to Lynch or Bubich or Kyle Wright? Are they back in the free agency pool? Is there someone in AAA like Champlain they want to give a shot to? It comes with a lot more questions. Not that they don't have options or options that can work, but if you have those three, the three horsemen who got you to this point in the playoffs, I feel like if I have those three, I'm very confident they're a playoff team again. How far they go might be dependent on how well other people perform, but I would rather they just bring Wacha back so their main concerns, Gold, are worrying about a leadoff hitter or another middle-of-the-bat hitter, a corner outfielder, and they don't have to worry about pitching right now.
Well, it definitely would make your life easier. I mean, because then you have your four, and it still allows you flexibility with what you might want to do for Brady Singer going forward. If you lose Michael Wacha, then the possibility of trading Brady Singer, I think, goes way, way down, right? I mean, because then you start looking at Reagans, Lugo, and Singer, 1, 2, 3, and then you could still go bring in another veteran as your four. If you keep Wacha, Singer's your, you know, Singer is obviously your four, or you trade him.
Which is a great position.
It gives you some more flexibility.
Yeah.
But I think there's some truth to, hey, this organization the last year and a half, 2 years has shown, whether it was trading for Reagans, trading for Urseg, or signing Lugo and Wacha, they have shown at the big league level, they're able to evaluate talent and find kind of those diamonds in the rough. And that is probably, like, I don't think you're going to have the same direct success in terms of 2 all-star pitchers that you're signing in free agency like you did this past year in Lugo, and then trading the year before for Reagans. But you almost feel like, if not every year, every other year, you're going to have a pitching signing through a pitcher that you sign through free agency or trade for that ends up having the type of season you just got from Lugo or from Wacha. Like, I don't think you should expect that they're going to go out there and sign another pitcher that's going to become an all-star next year, but every year or so they might have to.
Well, the idea is that you eventually turn into what the Rays did, which is some are free agents that you sign through because you are better at identifying the talent on a 1-2 year deal. The other ones come through your system, but some of those guys who you come through your system, you're willing to trade because pitching is currency and you always have more currency available to you in the minor league system, as in they're cycling through. If you're doing this right and their pitching development is on the right track, you do move on from guys like Brady Singer because you let Brady Singer go and you have the other guy who can perform at a 3.8 ERA, 3.9 ERA, right behind him, right? Because you drafted and develop him, you get value out of Singer without ever having to pay him, and then the next guy steps into that role. But that does require a certain number of veterans to carry that water until your system is fully caught up on that. And right now, I don't think they've changed their pitching development. I feel better about it, but I don't think it's fully turned around.
Up next, we'll talk a little bit more about the Royals and some of the decisions that they have over the next few weeks ahead as the end of the baseball season is right around the corner. Of course, a couple championship series going on last night. We'll talk a little bit about that. And one thing that Cody says is going to happen for one element of this Chiefs football team. We'll tell you what that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is next. Cody and Gold hanging out here on a Tuesday. We'll get to something that might have your interest. I don't know if people are actually interested in watching this or not, but it sounds like it's going to happen between a couple of athletes. We'll explain that here in 12 minutes or so. But just to wrap up our conversation on the Royals briefly before we get to something you think is going to happen this year for this football team. On the Royals, and yeah, I mean, Michael Wacha is one of those decisions, no doubt, and we'll ask J.J. Piccolo about this when he joins us at noon today. Like the other one still, to a certain extent, is going to be, do you think anybody actually gets traded? Because that always comes up. Last year, the big name was Salvi. We all know, fortunately, he did not get traded.
Thank God they didn't trade Salvi.
Do you think that each player is their own person? And you have to evaluate each person and each player individually. But do you think the decision to not trade Salvi and then seeing how it turned out to be a very good thing they didn't, do you think that would give you as a GM more pause in trading a Singer, a Melendez? And by the way, I'm not comparing either of those players to what Salvador Perez has meant to the city and team, but you get my point. Like, I just wonder if you're like, man, am I more hesitant to make a trade now after I saw what happened? I would like to think you're not, though, because we know they need to be transactional, and they have been. And part of that is the trademark. They've been transactional in trading for players and acquiring players in free agency. But are they willing to trade a big league player to another team? We haven't seen that under this regime, really, unless you count the 56-win season a year ago, where obviously they were willing to trade bullpen arms.
The reason why I think they're going to do it is exactly what you said. This team also learned that winning came with being transactional. One-year players that cycle in and out, veterans who cycle in and out, those guys will come and go. You will pay some of the players, right? Like Bobby Wood Jr. You have guys in like Urseg, but you have to move pieces. They have already been more transactional over the last 3 years than any single year under Dayton Moore, who was not transactional at all. Do I know who that player is? No. I don't know if it's MJ Melendez to decide to move on from. I don't know if it's, like they brought up Massey's name at the trade deadline a year ago. I don't know. They brought up Vinny's name. Remember on his wedding day, he heard a rumor that he might have been traded to Seattle or something. I don't know if it's any of those guys. I don't know if it's Brady Singer. I'm not sure which chairs they're going to move, but sitting still is not how any successful small market team does it. Just straight up. There's not a single successful small market team who just like, these are our guys and we'll stick with them. I know it sounds heartless and cold because we like some of these players and we'd like some of these players to be around for a long time, but the reality of small market baseball is not, it's in the margins. It's the little moves. It's the constant moves. It's the movement of it that keeps you afloat. The small market teams who just stand pat eventually go stale. The Guardians do nothing but move their players. It doesn't mean they don't hold on to Kwan or hold on to Ramirez and keep some of the pieces. You always keep a core. Everything else is movable. Everything else changes.
Heck, I would argue what the Royals giving Bobby Wood Jr. the contract they did is something that is not even what the Guardians do. Yeah, they've had players they've retained, Jose Ramirez most notably, but they're not handing out $285, $300 million contract to players even in Cleveland. Minnesota
did it one time with Joe Mauer.
Once, yeah.
But I mean, you know, they're always accepting that. But I mean, they gave Jose Ramirez, they just paid early. Smartly, by the way, sure. To their credit, because they'd given him it was like a 7 for $140 or something at the time. So they had paid him, they just paid him early. Now he will eventually be a free agent, I think, in like 2 or 3 years or whatever, and they'll have to make those decisions. They just were smart and paid the man early. That's all. So did the Royals.
I mean, Ramirez is already 32, so when he's 35, they're not going to care. I forgot how much older he is, but
some of those players they keep around and some of those they don't. There's always moving parts. And it's honestly, it's the guys in the fringe. It is someone like the ones we just like the guys that are like, they're on this team. They're full-time starters. They're good starters. Can we improve? Can we move? Can we improve? Can we rob Peter to pay Paul? Are there better right fielders on the free agency or starting pitchers? Like it's just the movement of what is available to in free agency, what someone will pay us back in compensation, who will give us the best, and then we move this cycle. I think someone is absolutely getting traded, 100%. Someone is going to get moved off this roster. I just don't know who yet. Who is a big question for me. We'll talk to J.J. Piccolo coming up at noon, but that's really still the question for me is how they move these pieces versus the other.
Yeah, we'll get to something that might have your interest involving a couple of athletes that sounds like is finally organized after some trash talk publicly over the summer. Coming up in just a little bit, but let's talk some Chiefs football in particular. I think we've all acknowledged heading into the bye week and now post bye week, getting ready for the 49ers game. This defense, once again, is playing at an extremely high level, and it's the reason why they're 5-0.
Yeah, the defense is better than last year. This is a better defense than last year's defense.
At this point, or that they will be across the entire season?
They are now and will be.
Better than at any point last year already?
Better than any point last year. Last year's defense took like 7 weeks to get going, and this year's defense is already there. Here's the difference of why I'll say that. And you'd be like, well, but you don't really love the pass rush. Be honest, I didn't love the pass rush last year either. A lot of the same pieces. I know they'll get a Minshew back. And Chris Jones is playing better than he was, at least in the beginning part of the season. So no reason to think he won't be playing as good as he was at the end of last season, just the same. So pass rush, maybe it's a hair down, right? Secondary's not. They have not missed the absence of L'Jarius Sneed at all. Hell, they're better against number one wide receivers. Remember the whole thing about, well, but L'Jarius is the number one wide receiver killer. Have you looked at the stats against number one wide receivers? They're great. They're also the number 5 run defense in the NFL, a notoriously fickle spot for this defense when they have been good, even late in the season during other teams. Sometimes they turn it on come postseason time, but they are stopping every single running back in their path. And some of those guys have been great outside of the time they faced Kansas City. This is just a better defense. They're just as good in the secondary. They're close to just as good in the defensive backfield. They are way better against the run. Turk Wharton is taking a massive difference. And the linebackers are just as good, if not better. This is a better defense. And they don't have to figure out how to be good together. They're already good together. They don't have to do this, let's give it time.
They're off to a better start. And it hasn't been a buildup. Was it a year ago at training camp? Maybe it's been 2 years now already. Time flies. But a year or two ago, Steve Spagnuolo made comments very early on in camp. And was like, I was asked, when does he think you'll start to really see the defense? And I want to say he said like week 7 to 9.
Yeah, he like openly admitted and that
was,
in a training camp.
It was a year or so ago. And we were like, wow, okay. And it took them some time. And as we've said over and over under Spags, historically, his defenses get better as the year go on. And you would say like, well, that's what's supposed to happen. But it doesn't always happen for a lot of teams. But it has consistently for Steve Spagnuolo. This was the strength of the team a year ago. It's why they were able to get to the postseason, get to the Super Bowl. And then eventually the offense came along for the ride come playoff time. That is happening again. And it's probably going to have to happen. I think right now they are definitely better than they were on October 15th of 2023.
No question there. That's inarguable.
Not even close. As far as being better than they were entering the playoffs last year, that to me is going to depend on, does Charles Omenihu, when he comes back, whether it's early November or much later, who knows, is he the same player as he was before the ACL? If he's anywhere near that player, then oh yeah, because they add him to the mix. You know, right now, knock on wood, they've been pretty healthy on the defensive line. Mike Dan is the one exception, and they still haven't had him playing at full strength the last couple weeks. So there's some reinforcements coming without having to go outside the organization, and I don't think they will. There's no need to. Mike Dana and Charles Omenihu, those are two pretty big pieces to get back healthy, and hopefully Dan is healthy Sunday. I think the biggest surprise is, of course, just all the talk during camp and the worry, like, man, nobody emerged. The coaching, nobody emerged as a number two corner. You know, they like Josh Williams or they like Jalen Watson. They're experienced guys, have come up with some big plays, but nobody's emerged. Like, well, we'll see how that sorts itself out. And here we are, and they haven't missed a beat.
I got to promise myself that I won't get duped again. I feel so stupid every year. I got to be like, I mean, I don't know how they're going to replace Legarius Sneed, guys.
Team has replaced corners every year.
I know. And every year I get roped back in because I'm like, they don't even like any of their corners enough to announce a starter in training camp. Legarius Sneed was a number one wide receiver killer, as we had previously pointed out. I'm like, how are they going to do it? They can't do it again. How many times can they pull this rabbit out of the hat? And then I'm like a kid at the Magic show being like, ooh, look at them. They did it again. They replaced Charvarius Ward, who was their number one corner at the time.
We'll see.
They replaced Legarius Sneed. It doesn't matter. And look, they'll pay Trent McDuffie. They won't have to replace him because he's the type of player you pay. He's a first-team all-pro caliber corner. That's not the kind they'll let go. They're happy to let go of literally anyone else. And by the way, the guys they let go, it's not even like they play bad football. When they leave Kansas City, they remain good corners, sometimes great corners. So they just like go on and they keep dominating, and the Chiefs never seem to notice. Doesn't even matter. Doesn't even impact their secondary at all. They're just good at it. Doesn't, who cares?
Well, you know, we earlier in the show already talked about the Jets and the ineptitude of that franchise. We've talked about the Eagles coaching, even though everybody praises Howie Roseman as a GM. And anytime we're having these type of stories and then now we're discussing how good they've been replacing corners under this regime, it's just a reminder of like, easier said than done to have a competent organization. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of pieces getting along and everything too, but just decisions like training for a player then that's never going to play for you, Hassan Reddick and the New York Jets. Like, stuff like that just doesn't happen under this regime. Doesn't mean that mistakes aren't made. They misevaluated, obviously.
Tony's
drafted
talent.
Yeah, like they've misevaluated. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's saying that they haven't made mistakes in drafting players. But man, when it comes to just some of the like truly like dumb, like flat out dumb, get nothing out of the player, that doesn't usually happen. Kadarius Toney, the trade overall, like we go back to the punt return thing in the Super Bowl, right? Like I know Carrington and I differ on this. He doesn't believe the punt return was as big of a deal, but that punt return is why it didn't turn out to be a disaster of a trade.
Otherwise it might've been.
It might've been. So they've made smart decisions and corner, whether it's Dave Merritt, Steve Spagnuolo, Brett Veach evaluating talent, late round draft picks. Yeah. The cornerback is a position where they've excelled as an organization, both developing, scouting talent, and of course, you know, developing goes both ways.
They're good at the, like, finding free agents. Yeah. Tyron Matthew, Justin Reed, what do they sign those guys to? 3-year deals? They can even find guys on the street, Gold. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Are you going to fall for this trap next year if they let some other corner go? Jalen Watson's a free agent and they got to bring somebody else in?
No, as long as Trent McDuffie is part of the equation, no, not at all.
As long as Spags is the head coach, as long as he's the DC, I would have no issue or no concern really with what he can do.
This is the great news about their situation, and it took them a while to find it, but As somebody asked me over the weekend, they had said, hey, do you think Spags is going to be gone and going to be a head coach? I'm like, bad news. For Spags deserves a chance. But I'll just be honest with you. Nobody's hiring Spags to be a head coach. They're not. No team is out here being like, I wish I could get a coach in his late 50s who's on the defensive side of the ball to be the head coach. It's a mistake.
Spags appreciates you. You're telling, you gave him a couple extra years. He's only he's 64.
Oh, I'm sorry. Early 60s. They don't hire early 60s defensive-minded coaches to be their head coach. No team does that. No team. And look, it's their loss. Because Spags has been incredible for this team, and he is an incredible coach. If you go back and look at his head coaching opportunities, look at what he had. Nobody could have won in those circumstances, but because unfortunately for him, he did not have good circumstances when he took over those teams, somebody won't give him another chance, and it's to the Chiefs' benefit.
It is.
Because he's the single, he might, he has an argument for the single greatest defensive coordinator of all time.
That's why he joined us in February after the Super Bowl. He came on the show, yeah. You know, a week or so after signing the extension, and obviously well deserved there. And we asked him, as many have, you know, does he have interest in being a head coach still? And of course he does. But he's also in a hell of a spot right now. Winning rings, and there's never been a coordinator only, right, inducted in the Hall of Fame. I believe that's correct. But because he's won rings with multiple teams as a coordinator, all that, he would have the strongest case of any defensive coordinator to get in the Hall of Fame. I don't know correct. If it'll happen or not, but he's going to have the resume to make a strong case at some point way down the road to get in.
I know you could say, like, how far down the coaching list do you have to do it if you're willing to do it? But I don't understand why we wouldn't put offensive and defensive coordinators, if they're all-time greats, and they're the same as you should put a punter in there if they're an all-time great. Justin Tucker one day should probably be an NFL Hall of Famer. If they are truly one of the single greatest players at their position or the coaching staff, and it's an eligible, like, why can't Spags be a Hall of Famer? I don't understand why, yeah. If you're one of the single greatest to ever do it at your job, why you don't deserve that. And I understand that it's nonsense and people don't really care about coordinators or those things. But if you're going to tell me right now it didn't make a difference,
Spags' best chance to get a head coaching job would have been like the Bears' job with Eberflus.
0%, but it's just so rare.
Because now there's other defensive guys who are younger that they might think that they're better. But like Raheem Morris had a way better. If it was Spags and Raheem Morris, I'm not so sure Raheem Morris still doesn't get hired over Spags because he's younger, and
I got Spags' twin brother is already the head coach of the Saints. Dennis Allen and him, they look like doppelganger of each other. Dennis Allen looks like an 8-year-old younger version of Steve Spagnuolo.
Kinda. They do look like they could be related.
Someone on the text line 913-586-7965 said, hey, the Broncos hired Vic Fangio. Yeah, how did that turn out?
Right. And how is it turning out for the Saints? That. How's it turning out for the
It did not work out great. I had to look it up just to confirm the Pro Football Hall of Fame, like if coordinators are actually eligible. There are no coordinators in the Hall of Fame, but they are technically eligible for the Hall of Fame.
He will have the strongest case of any. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but
he has to get in.
He would have the strongest case. I think it depends also, do they three-peat? Is he a defensive coordinator, a part of a three-peat? Does he get another ring or two in his career?
How many does he have total? Four right now? He has three right now because
three
the Giants.
Three with two teams?
Yeah, he's the only coordinator.
Or does he have two with the Giants?
I think you know what? Actually, God, he might have
four. He's got four.
He has four.
Two with the Giants.
One with the Giants. No, one with the Giants. Giants three with the Chiefs. Three
okay.
with the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I think he's
got that on a Hall of Fame resume?
Yeah.
And think about, again, some of it is like he was the Tom Brady killer for some of those, man. It's like kind of hard not to consider it. At least when we're on that end.
We'll get back to the defense. And the one thing that maybe has been their Achilles heel so far this year, that's coming up in 10 minutes. But during the summer, we know the Olympics were going on. And with that, Noah Lyles was a huge story, both on the track accomplishment and just comments and things like that. Congrats to him, by the way. I think he got engaged yesterday or sometime this week. I believe that came across the timeline. But that's not what I want to talk about. There's a race that it sounds like it's going to happen. Tyreek Hill made comments about Noah Lyles at the time, like basically he could beat him in a race. And we've heard and seen Tyreek Hill challenge people to races before. He's obviously ridiculously fast. So Super Serious, that's the name of the company, co-founded by Terry Crews. They're going to host a race between Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill.
All right.
The race will be part of a competition, specifically the Super Serious On-Site Series. Okay.
Say that 10 times.
Super
fast.
Serious, yeah, oh my God. On-Site Series. Yeah. We'll feature head-to-head competition in an elimination-style tournament between Olympic racers and other athletes. So it's like not it. Just going to be Lyles and Hill. It'll be pick another Olympian against another
super fast, super Devin fast, H-Han, whatever. Athlete. Another super fast athlete.
Tyreek Hill reportedly has verbally committed to a race, and Noah Lyles has signed on to compete.
I don't know
any details on exactly, like, is this going to be on TV? Is it going to be on Amazon Prime?
This seems like a
live, like, Netflix type of an event, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it's going on ESPN. This feels like it's on Prime or Netflix Live in the middle of March.
I really hope that, because so I think it was Flow Track that is the account that broke the news. I hope it's not on Flow Track, because they have, like, Flow Racing, they have Flow Football, which does, like, D2, D3. You gotta pay to watch it. I hope that they don't put it on Flow Track.
Well, then they'll just force me to go to social media after, you know?
Yeah, sure. I hope that it is on Netflix or Prime or something like that. I like
How
the content, though.
How much money are you paying these guys to do this?
I don't know, but, I mean, I'd watch, because I am curious. Sometimes we talk about, like, if the best athletes who are professional sports athletes, right, the NBA versus NFL argument and all these things, it gives you a glimpse into, had Tyreek Hill just chosen to be a professional track athlete, how successful would he have been as a professional track athlete? If the race is even a little close, you got to think probably the best in the world, right?
Wasn't he?
Because it's not like that's the only thing he's trained to do.
I think he might have been an Olympian if he would have stuck to track. Like he was that good.
Hard to imagine. They've shown those little like highlights of like his 400 meter time versus like the 400 meter time of current athletes, and he's in the middle of the pack. He ain't like in last by a mile. Yeah. He's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, he did his 200 meter time 20.1 seconds would have qualified him to the Olympic trials back in 2012, but he never participated.
Oh, yeah.
The time.
If he would have dedicated his career essentially to track, I feel like he would have, I don't know if he would have been like the fastest man in the world or like won a gold medal necessarily, but he would have been, I think he could have made a team.
It's hard to make it's hard to make the argument that he wouldn't.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing. We talk about this with like, why isn't the U.S. men's team better?
Let Xavier Worthy
like,
race somebody. Let Xavier Worthy race somebody. That's what I want to see.
Sure.
100.
Again, I want Bobby Wood.
100 meter dash.
John Ross, Zay Flowers. Like, forget the Olympians. Just do NFL fast guys.
Fine. Former KC or current KC guys. Xavier Worthy, Bobby Wood Jr., Tyreek Hill. Just line them all up on a 40 yard dash and let's see.
You're putting Bobby Wood Jr.
I want to see how he hangs.
I think Worthy's winning that. It's not going to be close.
You don't think Tyreek can win that? It's a race, dude. You got to, like, get off to a good, you know, things can still go wrong.
I would go with Worthy. He's the youngest of the bunch.
What 40 do you think Bobby runs?
I have no idea. He doesn't have to do that. I know how quick he gets from home to first. You know, or first to third.
A straight line.
Or first to home. He's the fastest player in Major League Baseball on sprint speed this year.
That'd be really
if you're going to put a baseball player in it, it's got to be Bobby Wood Jr.
See, I like the concept of it, though. Like, it's not even a... Like, it's I'm faster than you thing. It's like us as kids when we used to race to the mailbox or whatever. That's what this is. I like it.
His home to first sprint speed, and that's after swinging a bat, 4.11 seconds. It's 30.4 feet per second.
Which is, and if it's 60 feet, that's 20 yards?
I mean,
theoretically, yes.
I got to think he'd be in the race. I don't think he's just getting blown out here.
My money, Worthy would be the favorite, betting favorite, clearly.
I just want to see it. That's all.
We'll see if this actually happens. Talking about the Lyles and
Tyreek John Ross out of retirement to run in that race too. I mean, John Ross ran 4.22.
He's not in. Remember,
nah, he retired
and then came back.
Oh, he did come back.
He quit during camp a year ago, and then he went to the. I think he's on the Eagles practice squad.
He went through the Chiefs training camp, and he got through the last day, and he was like, "I'm not doing this job."
Yeah, I don't know if he was doing some personal stuff. I'm not sure, but I know. John Ross as of September was on the practice squad.
Talk about bad draft picks, man.
Oh, John Ross? Yeah. Yeah.
That was the pick right before.
Bengals first round pick.
Who was the pick taken 10th?
The Bengals didn't need a quarterback then. So I don't think you can say that Mahomes would have been on the Bengals.
Patrick Mahomes did go 10th. That year. 10th was that is correct, Drew. The next pick after John Ross was, in fact, Patrick Mahomes.
That's tough.
This is why I told you, like, anytime we did it, you can do this every year.
I know, but those hurt the worst.
That's why I always hate when we get in these, sometimes the draft conversations, whether it was Mecole Hardman, DK Metcalf, or I'm like, we can do this with almost every pick from any team can point to one of their drafts, fans can, and be like, hey, this guy was available there. How come he didn't take him? He went 10 spots later, and he's now a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro. Like, That's why it's so hard to draft, especially wide receiver.
Someone say who's winning a race, Pat versus Kelsey.
Pat.
I feel like Mahomes wins that one, yeah.
At this point, Travis 34. Yeah, I'll go with the younger guy.
Man, that's a good question.
I'll go with the younger.
We ought to ask New Heights then. I don't know. Travis?
Younger guy. I'll take the younger player here, I think.
Okay.
In their prime.
Oh.
Mahomes still might. I think Mahomes still might have him.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I had to go look it up. The pick right before Russell Wilson, because that was the one. They took Donald Stevenson, the Ooh. Chiefs.
Whoops.
Yeah. Well, I got Mahomes, so I don't care. Butterfly effect. Screw that pick. I'm glad Donald Stevenson's here.
No offense to Donald Stevenson. It sounds like a name like a fullback. I'm sure he didn't play that position, but.
No, he did not.
Up next, though, let's talk about this Chiefs defense on the other side, all the positive stuff. But what's one thing that has come up still now heading into week 6? That's next on Cody and Gold. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.